Today on Annenberg Radio News.
But even though life was hard, my mom was a person that likes to give. And we would say, Mom, why are you giving away the food? And she would always say, you know something? Cast your bread upon the waters.
We visit a woman running a restaurant at the heart of the Belizean community in South LA. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, November 9th, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. Today, the LA City Council voted unanimously to continue buying tasers from a company based in Scottsdale, Arizona. The council's Public Safety Committee wanted to exempt this purchase from their economic boycott against Arizona. The council voted in May to stop all official travel to Arizona and to consider terminating contracts with businesses there after the state passed its tough anti-immigration law. But Councilman Greg Smith, who's on the committee, says it would have been hard to find a satisfactory replacement to Taser International Inc.'s products. The LA City Council discussed a report today showing more than 100 police officers are doing civilian jobs. It's a situation that no one's happy about. But as Ariel Edwards Levy reports, fixing it is complicated.
LA citywide hiring freeze is causing staffing problems in the police department. It can't hire enough non-officers for support jobs. Instead, officers are being taken off the streets to do jobs formerly held by civilians. Everything from typing reports to maintaining vehicles. Since police officers earn higher salaries than civilians, this ends up costing the city more. It would seem like an obvious solution to stop the freeze and hire more non-officers. Councilmember Bill Rosendahl and Police Personnel Director Francois Gardere agree.
Sounds great. Why don't we unfreeze them?
Sounds great.
But in city politics, nothing is that simple. As Council President Eric Garcetti explains, unfreezing those jobs means hiring fewer police officers.
You would have to retire some police officers. If you're saying one is cheaper than the other, you have to get rid of the ones that are more expensive. So that means reducing the overall police department force in order to hire those civilians.
Cutting police officers goes against one of Mayor Villaraigosa's top priorities, maintaining LA's police force at 9,963 members. But Councilmember Tony Cardenas questioned whether the focus on that number was hurting the department.
To just claim a particular number of sworn officers is one thing. And perhaps for the campaign trail, that's something appropriate. But when it comes to budgeting, we're going to be lying to the public by saying we have 10,000 officers, but the public doesn't have 10,000 officers on the streets of Los Angeles.
Rosendahl agreed.
The reality is we have to deal with the sacred number of 9963. If it's so sacred, why are we putting full-time, able-bodied officers into civilian jobs? So let's deal with the reality where the rubber is now hitting the road.
For council members, that could mean unpopular steps, like voting against new police officers.
The key is whether you have the will to do it, and we've ignored it each and every time it's come up.
Council member Bernard Parks.
That every time there's a class to be hired, we hire it, and we go blindly through, and we keep cutting civilians, and you're going to have the full level of sworn personnel, but not enough civilian support to cause them to be affected.
The council voted unanimously to refer the issue to the Public Safety and Budget Committees. Ariel Edwards Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, Cal State trustees discussed increasing student fees again. Jessica Flores has the story.
It was just last year that fees went up by more than 30%, setting off protests across California schools. This year's plan would raise fees by 5% this school year, then raise it by 10% more next year. Instead of being called fees, it will now be called tuition. The name change signals a departure from the tradition of tuition-free public education in California. Fees were usually reserved for optional services, but in recent years, the fees have been charged across the board to make up for budget shortfall. Trustees are saying the word tuition is just more appropriate. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Thank you.
The LA County Board of Supervisors voted to hold meetings across Los Angeles. An old county code had forced it to hold meetings only in downtown LA. But the board overturned the law. It will take effect next year. Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who sponsored the measure, says it will give more people access to the meetings. The board also voted 3-2 to increase filming fees. Permit charges would more than double to cover costs related to fire safety on sets. Well, Election Day is long over, but the tight race for state attorney general carries on. According to the most recent count released yesterday, LA County Attorney Steve Cooley holds a razor-thin lead over San Francisco District Attorney Kamala Harris. Esther King reports.
We already know who most of our state leaders will be next term, but the question of who will be our attorney general still remains. So far, Cooley, a Republican, has 46.1% of the votes, and Harris, a Democrat, a close 45.6%. Brian Brokaw is the campaign manager for Harris. He says Harris's supporters are not sitting idly by waiting for the results.
Of course, they're waiting and seeing as a part of it as the votes are actually tallied, but we're also keeping a watchful eye.
The campaign quickly sent out 1,500 volunteers to county registrar's offices all around the state to make sure that every vote is counted. Brokaw says he believes the race will ultimately turn around in their favor.
We're very optimistic, and we believe that the uncounted ballots are going to closely reflect the votes that were cast on Election Day.
Representatives from Cooley's campaign cannot be reached by press time. The California Secretary of State's website says more than 1,400,000 ballots have yet to be counted. Maria Ventura is the spokesperson for the LA County Registrar's Office. She told us that in LA County alone, there are still 300,000 ballots left to count. Her office is planning on taking until November 29th, which is the deadline to report the results. The Secretary of State then has until December 10th to certify the results of the election. Looks like we're in this for the long haul. The waiting won't be ending anytime soon for both parties. Esther King, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Registrar's Office informed us that the next update will be available today around 5 p.m. One of the hottest topics in the Twitterverse is the mystery missile that flew over the coast of Southern California yesterday. A local news helicopter caught it on camera, but the military isn't claiming it. So those in the Twitter world are putting their two cents in. Disaster from San Diego says, "It's a missile. It's a plane. It's huh?" It would have been the greatest promotion ever for another Superman. Nick Schweitzer asks, "Was the mystery missile in California really just a jet?" Tobias O says, "Didn't America spend $53 billion on a missile defense system? So why is there an unknown missile off of Los Angeles just flying around?" Tweet our handle at Annenberg Radio if you have any theories that you want to add. Well, after last week's heat wave followed by the weekend rains, we're back to our usual Southern California weather. Tonight will continue to be clear, but temperatures will get down to the mid-40s, so it'll be a little chilly. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with highs in the mid-60s to lower 70s. Thursday will be a little warmer with highs in the mid-70s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Proposition 25 was designed to make California's budget easier. But we talked to a political expert who says it may not make much of a difference. Los Angeles is known for its Mexican, Salvadorian, and Guatemalan communities. But what you may not know is that a community of immigrants from Belize is thriving in South LA. Estimates are that the community is about 50,000 strong. It's the biggest in the U.S. Rebecca Schoenkopf visited Nell and John's, a Belizean restaurant on Western Avenue. She found one family that's been cooking their native food for generations.
I love to cook.
That's Mrs. Wells, the Nell in Nell and John's. It was the first Belizean restaurant in the area 28 years ago, and it started in Nell and John's home.
We didn't have tables.
Oh,
they used to come in and take out, or I would have one big dining room table, and whoever wanted to sit could sit.
John has passed away, but Mrs. Wells cooks, and her 30-year-old daughter Dorothy has been the manager since she was 19. Today, even though they're closed on Sundays, they've allowed us to come in and join them. This is Dorothy.
Yeah, my baby is 6 months, so we dedicated her today.
During the week, Dorothy's young children do homework at the counter before running around and playing. And she was raised in the restaurant, too.
Actually, she was like going on 2 or maybe going on 3. We used to get up early in the morning, me and my husband, bring them here, bring their little pillow and their little blanket, and we give them their breakfast here. It was like a second home.
Mrs. Wells credits that with keeping her family close.
I didn't leave my children nowhere. Nobody didn't babysit for me.
It's a restaurant, it's a daycare, it's even a church. Mrs. Wells and Dorothy host church services in their restaurant for 40 or 50 people every Sunday, followed by dinner for everyone.
Usually everybody hangs out around here till night. Everybody goes home.
Even the booths here show how important community and family are. Each one could hold a Boy Scout troop. But is it something special about the Belizean character, or would you find the same closeness in any immigrant community?
I think we get it from back home. When we come home, we would eat together. Sometimes lunch is just rice and a little bit of stew beans. But even though life was hard, my mom was a person that likes to give. And we would say, Mom, why are you giving away the food? And she would always say, you know something? Cast your bread upon the waters.
Within a few years of losing her husband, Mrs. Wells also lost a daughter and a son. And yet, she says,
God has been really good to me.
She came here, she says, without papers, but God brought her a Texan husband and she became legal.
We have a lot of legals, so a whole lot. That's our hidden secrets.
He also gave her good health and 6 children.
I had 4 children, and I have 2 adopted because I always wanted 6.
Her 4 living children and her 8 grandchildren come for dinner every Sunday. They've stopped serving today, and they're closed tomorrow, too. Mondays are for the family outside the restaurant walls. Rebecca Schoenkopf, Annenberg Radio News.
Now that Californians approve Proposition 25, it seems passing the budget next year might actually happen on time. Prop 25 says the legislature can pass the budget with a majority vote instead of the 2/3 the law used to require. And with voters electing a Democratic governor and legislature, gridlock seems like it may become a word of the California past. But not so fast, says political analyst and USC senior fellow Sherry Jeffy.
Well, I think you have to look at the passage of Proposition 26, which makes it harder to fund that budget.
Proposition 26 says the legislature can only raise fees with a 2/3 vote, making it harder to make budgetary ends meet.
The good news is to pass a budget no longer requires a 2/3 majority. The bad news is that doesn't guarantee that budget gridlock will disappear.
Why don't you think it will disappear, Phelan?
Because of the 2/3 vote on taxes and the new broader definition of taxes to include significant fees. That still gives the minority party a means to block at least one of the paths toward balancing the budget. So we are nowhere near out of the woods. We'll have to see how that works out. Remember, for us to really climb out of our fiscal morass, we need an economy that perks up dramatically. And some of that, if not all of that, will be out of the hands of the governor and the legislature, particularly now that the legislature can't do an end run by using fees, which only require a majority vote.
That was political analyst and USC senior fellow Sherry Bebich Jeffy. Teens who text 120 times a day or more are more likely to have had sex or used alcohol and drugs than kids who don't text that much. That's according to a study done by Dr. Scott Frank of Case Western University. He says parents who let their kids text often are less likely to watch out for them doing other things. He and his team conducted the study at schools in the Cleveland area. Now we check in with ATVN's Faye Lee to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Madeline. Well, here's one of the stories we're doing today. It's regarding tuition increases. The UC board announced yesterday that they will be voting next week on an 8% tuition increase. And actually, as we're speaking right now, the CSU board is also discussing another tuition increase of 15% by 2012.
And I heard that you actually went to an event today with Mayor Villaraigosa, who was promoting urban farming. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was actually at an urban farm in North Hollywood, and Mayor Villaraigosa was there to recognize the benefits of the program and also the people involved. And the idea is to, you know, promote the sense of urban sustainability and green living in the middle of a busy city, and also to provide jobs.
So what were some of the tips or ideas that they had for that? Was it like growing something in your backyard or?
Well, it was a very small kind of farm, but they received actually federal stimulus money. The idea is to help low-income and moderate-income Angelenos in urban farming, growing green produce, and also just, you know, making a living for themselves.
Wow, that sounds really neat. Well, thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us, and we'll make sure to check you out tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thank you.
Well, dodgeball may seem like a game from your childhood, but the sport is back in action. The Eagle Rock Yacht Club has 200 members playing. Haley Fox visited the courts and asked the founders about their adult version of the game.
This is not the dodgeball game you remember from gym class. In the yacht club, teammates help you up when you fall. No one gets picked last, and even the balls are non-sting, making them softer and much more forgiving.
It has this negative connotation of like, dodgeball, no, yuck. But as soon as someone with that attitude has come out always, they end up loving it.
The Eagle Rock Yacht Club started with just 8 people in Glassell Park. Now, over 200 are playing dodgeball in 3 different leagues across the city. Club founders Chris Alves and Craig Fowler said they started the group to meet new people and give back to their community.
Our whole motto is drinking dodgeball in the common good, so I think that as a nonprofit, that really fits in with that.
Once the dodgeballs start flying, it's a relentless assault of thumps, slaps, and bounces. After games, the group heads over to the Verdugo Bar, what they call their second home. The dodgeball group is a mixed group made up of men, women, artists, businessmen, students, and everything else in between.
When we hit like 100 people or so, we kind of saw the power that our group had in terms of like helping the community.
Like every year we do an AIDS walk tournament. All the money raised goes to our AIDS walk team that anyone can join.
The Yacht Club also hosts dodgeball games for community kids and donates supplies and gift certificates to charities like the Pasadena Humane Society and downtown homeless shelters. Still, they find time to make teen uniforms and put together costumes. Often, it's the more ridiculous, the better.
We were the Golden Girls, so we dressed up in like muumuus and like wigs and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I had full-grown adult men dressed like old ladies. I mean, it was amazing.
After only 2 years, the league is going strong and has begun their paperwork to become an official nonprofit. This is Haley Fox, Annenberg Radio News.
Check out our website, AnnenbergRadio.org. We have updates on the 2 men who shot a 5-year-old boy on Halloween in South Los Angeles. And keep clicking on our website for more news about South Los Angeles, or check out our sister organization, Intersection, which has the neighborhood covered. Well, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help from Ryan Nunez and Shelley Hsu. Stephanie Guzman is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Cinto. Thanks for listening, and check us out on Thursday at the same time. And our team will be back next Tuesday.